Our text today is found in the Gospel of John. If you are in the Gospel of John, I would ask that you turn to the 10th chapter of John and put your finger on verse number 1 and then follow with me as I read John 10, verse 1 down through verse 16. There's a few things I want to share with you and then I will take my seat. John 10, 1 through 16 reads as follows. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. For as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Our thought for us to think about today is simply the shepherd's voice. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house one more time. We thank you for the ability to stand and proclaim what thus saith the Lord. We ask, Father, for ready hearts and listening ears, that our minds will be able to grasp the truth of your word, that they may make a difference in our lives, that we would be different men and women, boys and girls, because we've been under the sound of your word. We ask that you would work a work of grace in our lives. Father, if we know you, may we be strengthened to follow even closer. If we know you not, may we come crying as the jailer and say, what must I do to be saved? We ask that your word is so plain that even a child could understand your saving power and your saving grace. Give us a good service in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The shepherd's voice. Parents who have children can live in a busy community, and it's the time of day where it's time for everybody to come home. You can go out and call a name, and the only person that's going to come when you call the name is not all of the 15 kids out there playing, but the only one that's going to come is the one that belongs to you. And the reason why that child is coming is because they've been trained to recognize your voice. And even though there's a lot of other sounds that are falling on their ear, the one sound they do know is the sound of the mother or father, or whoever it is that's raising them, who's calling them to come home. The shepherd's voice. This story takes place during the third year of Jesus' ministry, which was the year of opposition. And you find when you read through the Gospel of John, there are several classy confrontations that Jesus has with the religious leaders of his day. Bless you, is there another? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were at odds and opposed to everything he did and were looking ways to eliminate what they perceived to be a threat to their system and style of religion. They wanted to get rid of Jesus, and they didn't mind slinging mud. This is an election year, and if you watch negative campaigning on TV or heard the ads on the radio, they say people are upset about it, they don't like it, but the reason why they do it is because it works. When I say something bad about my opponent, It makes me look better and him look worse. Now, I've never said what I'm going to do. I just tell you what he did that was wrong. So if you think that negative campaigning is something new, you should go back and read some of the things that the Pharisees and the Sadducees accused Jesus of. And they didn't do it when it was a quiet one-on-one. They were sitting around having a conversation with him by themselves. They always showed up at the edge of the crowd when it was a public setting and set somebody in to ask questions with the design to make him look foolish or stupid or uninformed or ignorant or ridiculous. But you see, the Bible says that Jesus is not only man, he was also God. And so it says that he knew what was in men, and he knew why they did what they did and said what they said. So he was always able to handle them. And if you want to learn how to handle people who talk about you in a negative fashion, just study the words of Christ in the Gospel of John, and you will understand how to handle and talk to people who are out to do you no good. But Jesus goes on to tell a story about a shepherd and a sheepfold. And he says simply this. He tells the story in the first 5 verses. And he says simply that if you are the shepherd, you go in through the door. And the reason why you go in through the door is because that's the way you're supposed to go in, because you're the right person for the right time. If you're not the right person for the right time and you want to go in and get the sheep, your reason for getting them is not because you care for them, but because you want to steal them for yourself. He says if you decide to go in without going through the door, you are the same as a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber are not the same. A thief comes after your property, and they will not necessarily want to do you any harm, where a robber, in order to get what they want from you, may do violence to you or your person or your property to get what they want. If you want to know the difference between a thief and a robber, Judas, who was one of the 12, was a thief. He was the treasurer of the group, and he kept the bag. If you want to know what a robber was, just look at the man who Jesus replaced on the cross, Barabbas. He was a robber. He was a man that was willing to kill to get what he wanted. He simply says that there is a doorkeeper or a porter who's at the gate, because one of the illustrations of taking care of sheep is that there was a sheepfold, which was a fenced-in or stone arrangement where there was only one way in and one way out, and the shepherd would go home at night and come back in the day, and because the doorkeeper or the porter recognized him, he would let him in. So, in your house, if people don't belong there, you don't let them in the front door. So, usually the only way they're going to get in is to come in through the window or the side door or the back door or wait till you're not there, because they want to be there when you're not there, because they want what you've got because they don't want to pay for it. So, if you come in any other way than the front door and you're supposed to be there, he says you're a thief or a robber. And it's the same thing about voice recognition. These sheep, they all had names. The shepherd called them all by names, and it wasn't like your sheep flock was the only one in the fold. There were several shepherds who would put all their sheep in there to keep them at night, and during the day they would take them out to pasture. So you've got all these sheep who have no markings, no collars, no brands, no means of identifying them. They're just sheep in the fold. And the only way you can get your sheep out of there is to call them by name, and the only way your sheep will follow you is they recognize your voice when you call them. So he says, they're not going to just follow anybody. The only person they will follow is their shepherd. And people are like, huh? What does that mean? We have been doing a series called More Than Just a Story, talking about the parables of Christ. And if you look in verse 6, it says, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the thing which he spoke unto them. If you look in the Greek, this word doesn't actually mean the word parable, even though it's translated that, because there are no parables recorded in the Gospel of John. They're in the other 3 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This word parable here could actually be translated allegory. An allegory is a story in which the people, the places, and the things symbolize something else. So Jesus goes on to say, I told you this story about the shepherd and the sheep, but since you don't understand what I'm talking about, I'm going to break it down and explain it to you. He repeats himself several times in these verses. And one of the things he says is the word translated verily, verily, or truly, truly. Whenever you see a word repeated twice in Scripture, stop and pay attention, because something very important is being said. Jesus is giving extra emphasis to what he's saying, and he lets us know that by repeating the phrase twice. He says simply this, I am the door of the sheep. And that goes for the whole reason why Jesus Christ came. He came to save men and women from what? From a place called hell and something called sin. And Jesus says that He is the door of the sheep. There are many religions in the world in which we live. You can be a Muslim, you can be a Buddhist, you can be a Hare Krishna, you can be whatever you want to be, and they all claim that they worship a God. Some say it's the same God, and they all claim that if you worship God, it doesn't make any difference which religion you have. All roads lead to God. But the Bible says that is not true. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came and He said, I am the way. And what does He mean by that? The only way to have a relationship with God where He is our Heavenly Father, we are adopted into His family, we are born again, we're going to make heaven our home, that we're going to spend eternity with Him, is through Christ. And Jesus Christ came for a reason, and that was to save us from sin, Satan, and self. And how did He do that? There's a thing that we hang on the wall in season called a cross, and it's an empty cross. If you look at the cross beam, you see three of them going across the ceiling. It's an empty cross because what happened happened one time, once for all, and it was a done deal that took care of past, present, and future. Jesus does not have to keep going up on the cross and dying for sins of those who are yet born, or dying for sins that we have yet to commit today. Jesus Christ came and it was a one-time sacrifice of Himself where He died for sin. Well, who's got a problem with sin? We all do. If we said yes to Christ, it's in our past. If we haven't said yes to Christ, it's still in front of us because it's an issue that faces us every day. And sad to say, if you don't think that sin is a problem, keep living with it and it will kill you. And the Bible says that after you leave this earthly body, you will spend time, not just time, where time ceases to exist, but you will spend it in a place called hell, not just for 5 years, 10 years is in a prison sentence, but the Bible says for all eternity, you will be in hell unless you've accepted Christ as Savior. But Jesus says, anybody that ever came before Me, that did not come in through the door, and I am the door, the same as a thief and a robber. So what I'm saying is you can't be a Buddhist and get to heaven. You can't be a Muslim and get to heaven. You can't be a Hare Krishna and get to heaven. You can't be anything but a follower of Christ, who were first called Christians at Antioch, if you believe that Jesus Christ is who He is and did what He said He did. The Bible says we're saved and we're on our way anyhow. That's what makes us a Christian. Anything else, you're being deceived. He says, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. When you fly on an airplane, there's only one way to land the plane. The runway may run north and south or east and west. If it's a north and south runway, you cannot decide to come in and fly and land east or west because it doesn't work that way. There's one way to get in and there's one way to get out. And Jesus Christ says that the only way to get to God is through Him. He's making a comparison between Himself and the religious leaders of His day because He says in verse 10, He says they're just like thieves. And why do they come into our lives? Do they come to do us good? Do they come to bring us blessings? Do they come to bring us closer to God and help us in our walk to God? No. He says the only reason why these people came, it's not about you, it's about them. When a thief comes in, when a robber comes in, he never comes in to do anything for you. He comes in because he's got an S-I-N problem, selfish in nature, and it's all about him and what he wants. His three favorite people, him, himself, and him. Or you, yourself, and you. Or me, myself, and I. Without I in sin, the Bible says, there is no sin. But you see, Jesus says, I am come that they might have life. There's a lot of I ams that are mentioned in this text. He says, I am the door in verse 9. What happens if we enter the door? We shall be saved. We shall go in and out. And like sheep, we're going to have our needs taken care of. We're going to have a life that means something, that has purpose. Jesus says, I am come that we might have life. Not just a physical life, not just getting up and going to work and coming home and eating and drinking and going to sleep. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about life of a different kind. He's talking about eternal life. And he says, I am come that you might have life, and that you're not just going to have it, but have it in abundance, which means it's eternal, it has no ending. Once we say yes to Christ, we are living in the eternal life. He draws the contrast because he said the thief comes in to steal, and if he can't steal, he'll kill, and if he can't kill, he'll destroy. But he says, I am the good shepherd. In contrast to the thief, he says, here's what I do. I give my life for the sheep. Someone said, how do you know what love looks like? Love is willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. We have men and women that are fighting wars all around the world. They're over in Afghanistan. They're over in Iraq. There's a movie that just came out a couple weeks ago called Flags of Our Fathers. It's talking about the raising of the flag in Iwo Jima. And it's a story behind that picture and what happened in the country at that time. The country was tired of war. They were getting a little frustrated because there didn't seem to be anything that was coming to conclusion quickly, and they decided to come up with this picture. But I won't tell you the story, but my point is, the men who came back that were in the picture, they were taking them around the country so people could see that they were heroes. And they said, we are not the real heroes. They said, the real heroes died over there on that island. Jesus says, I give my life for the sheep. Jesus also said in chapters further down, John 15 and 16, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He says, you are my friends, and I'm willing to lay down my life for you. So what is love? Love is somebody who's willing to die that you and I could live. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he says, but you know what? If you're just a hireling, if you're just somebody that's temporary filling in, you're more concerned about your own skin and your own sake than you are about the sheep. So when the danger comes, you don't run toward the danger. You run away from it because the only person you're concerned about is yourself. It's, in your mind, every sheep for himself. Survival of the fittest. And the only person I'm worried about is me. That person is not willing to die that the sheep might live. He's willing to run away and save his own life. But Jesus says that anybody that saves his life is going to lose it. And if you want to really get your life, you've got to be willing to lose it in dying and living for Christ. He says, even as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I also must bring. When he gave this message, he was talking to the nation of Israel. But when he concludes this message, he's talking to you and to me. He says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. The Christian life, what is it? Is it just coming into church on Sunday and showing up for Sunday school? Is it showing up for choir practice and showing up for Bible study and showing up for USFW and showing up for the class meetings? Is it just showing up when we have special days and special programs, something for Christmas, something for Easter, something for Thanksgiving? Is that all there is to it? Is that what it comprises of the Christian life? That's a part of it. All those things are basically symbols on the outside to what's happened on the inside. We show up every week because we love God. We show up every week because we want to know more about God. We show up every week because God has done something, is doing something, and will continue to do something in our lives, and we come to celebrate that, we come to share that, we come to learn more about Him. We come to grow in our faith. We come to become more today than we were yesterday. We come because we want to do better. We want to understand the Bible better. We want to understand God better. We want to understand ourselves better. We come because we know there's a world outside of these four walls that's dying and going to hell and needs the love of the Savior. And we come so that we might learn better, week by week, how to let our light shine for Christ. We come because we realize there's an empty cross, but there's a risen Savior, and He's the one who gives meaning and purpose to our lives. And that's why we take the time to pray. And that's why we take the time to read our Bible, because it speaks to us. Our greatest joy in life, our greatest passion in life is God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit, which He gives to us the day we are saved, stirs us up on the inside, gives understanding and insight, gives wisdom and knowledge on how to live the Christian life. That's what it means to be a Christian. We live for God and God alone. Everything else is number 2, 3, 4, 5. Jesus said, if you don't love God more than you love your husband, your wife, your children, you can't follow me. In order to know someone, you've got to spend time with them. There are nuances in the voice. There are inflections in the voice that you pick up over time. And you know what those tones mean. You're a married woman. You've been married to your husband for how long? 25 golden years. And you know his tones. If he snores, you know what it sounds like. If he coughs, you know what it means. If he's happy, you can tell it in his voice. If he's displeased, you can tell it in his voice. And all of you who are in any kind of relationship over time, you know the voice. And the goal of the Christian life is that we are so tuned to God's voice that no matter what else is happening in our lives, when God speaks, there used to be a commercial, E.F. Hutton, and they used to say, when E.F. Hutton speaks, and everybody would just shut up, and it would just become silent, so quiet you could hear a pin drop. And they used to say, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. In order to follow the Savior, you got to see Him for who He is. The Good Shepherd, the door, the way. But we also got to enter in and have a relationship with Him as Lord and Savior. And recognize that, as the song says, where He leads, we will follow. Because we know that Jesus is always looking out for our best interests. Jesus is always looking out to give us the best, to be the best, to do the best. And even though we might not understand the circumstances in which He's leading us, if He's leading us, the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those aren't just words that we memorize, a song that we sing. If we know Jesus as the shepherd, those are the words that guide us each and every day of our lives because we recognize the shepherd's voice. There may be some of you today who don't know Jesus, and if He's calling you today, do not delay, because the Bible teaches that tomorrow, even this afternoon, is not promised. You don't have all the time in the world because only God knows how much time is left on your clock. The shepherd's voice. The goal of the Christian life is to always follow wherever He leads because He's leading us on the way home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, for reminding us of who He is, the I Ams, how He is the door that brings us into relationship with You, how He is the door that brings us into the safety from sin of the world, how He is the living Savior, how He is the one who was willing to die for our sins, how He demonstrated His love and the fact that He was willing to die on a cross, not because He had to, not because He needed to, but because He wanted to, because He was obedient to the great plan to save the world from sin. He was willing to give everything He had, and that was His life. But we're so thankful, Father, He just didn't lay in a borrowed tomb, but that He got up on the third day, on the first day of the week, and You raised Him up with power. All power of heaven and earth in His hand, and now He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for those who come to Him, because when He called, we recognized His voice. We thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.